All right, I'm going to be in Luke chapter 15 today, and I have a little bit of a different Easter message, but I believe it's something that God put on my heart, and it kind of goes along with one of the songs that we sang today. And Jesus in Luke chapter 15, verse 4, he says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends, his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance." Let's pray one more time. Father, I pray that you would help me to communicate your word today. Lord, I pray that we would leave here, Lord, in victory. If there's anybody here, Lord, in discouragement, depression, God, I pray they would leave here encouraged. Lord, knowing that you love them and you have a plan for us. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. I want to talk today about reckless love. The reckless love of God. The love of God that knows no limits. The love of God that has no insecurities. You see, Jesus in this passage, he asks a rhetorical question. He says, "What one of you, if you have 100 sheep, and one of them goes missing, what one of you do you leave the 99 and you go and you look for that one lost sheep?" And of course, it was a rhetorical question, with Jesus expecting them to answer in the affirmative. And this society that he was talking to was very agrarian, and sheep were very valuable. So the answer would be, of course, you leave the 99 and you go and you look for that one lost sheep until you find it. And I want to tell you today, I don't know who you are, I don't know where you come from, but you're more valuable than one sheep. You have extreme value. You have value to God. And so today, God, he's looking for the one lost sheep. God's looking for the one. He's not looking at everybody here today that maybe you have it together and you know who the Lord is and your walk is okay. He doesn't look at us and say, "Well, there's about 500 here and 475 of them are doing okay, and so I'm really not going to worry about the other 25. No, he is focused on the 25 of us maybe here today, or maybe even just the one of us that's in this one room. And I just want to put out this disclaimer, in that this sermon isn't for the 99 healthy sheep today. This sermon might just be for one person. And if it's for one person, it's worth it. You see, Jesus would have gone to Calvary for one person. Jesus would have gone through everything that he went through if it was just one person who would be reconciled with him. Why? Because we have extreme value. So I want to ask you this question, maybe it would resonate with you a little bit more. And as of December 28th, it resonates with me more. And that is this: if you had, let's say you have four kids and you go to the mall, and you get back to the meeting point where everybody's supposed to meet, and three of them are there, but one of them is not there. Do you say, "Well, 75% is not bad. Let's go on home. Hopefully they find themselves home." No, you send the kids out. You call mall security until you find that one child. Why? Because that one child has value. That one child matters to you. And it doesn't matter that the health of the other three. All that matters in that moment is the one lost child who needs to be found. You put posters out. You put it on the intercom and let people know there's somebody missing. And I want to tell you today, God has posters with your face on it. God is speaking through his intercom saying, "I'm looking for you. I'm searching for you." Why? Because he loves you and you have value today. God loves you. When the Bible refers to people being lost, it's referring to people being separated from God. Some of us in here today were lost. And here's the truth, is that all of us have been lost at some point in our life. Has anybody else ever been lost? I know I've been lost, where I was separated from God. I wasn't with God. And Isaiah 53, 3 puts it like this: all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, speaking of Jesus, the iniquity of us all. You see, we, like sheep, we get curious. And what sheep do is they start going their own way, and at first it's maybe just a few feet, and then it's a few yards, and then before you know it, they're out of sight of the rest of the flock. Why? Because they just kind of lose their way. And that's how some of us get, isn't it? Just one bad decision leads to another. We never intended to being where we're at. We never intended to being addicted. We never intended to being in the place in life that we're at right now. But it was just like we took one wrong turn and then another wrong turn. And before you know it, we're not where we need to be. And what I want you to know is that God loves lost people. God searches for lost people. And if you think you've never been lost, I want to give you a little heads up. That's a clue that you're lost. Because it probably means you're full of pride and self-righteousness, which God can't stand. And we have to realize that we all go through times in life where we get lost. But we have a Savior who goes and finds us. And that's the story of Calvary. Calvary is a rescue mission to go find lost people. It says that God placed on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Why? So we could be found. And I have good news for you today, and that's point number one, and that is God loves lost people. God is obsessed with lost people. Maybe other people have given up on you. Maybe other people have forsaken you, but I want to tell you that there is a God who loves you. He's searching for you. And in verse 4, it says this, that when what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one until he finds it. He doesn't give up until he finds it. And it doesn't matter to him how many are accounted for. What matters to God is how many are lost. How many have not yet been found. And you see, God wasn't satisfied with just 75%. God's not satisfied with 99%. God is not satisfied until every one of his kids are accounted for. And that's why he came and died. That's why he came in our place. It's because he's not satisfied. You got to understand that God came personally for us in Jesus. God came personally on a rescue mission, looking for us until we were found. That is what Calvary is all about. That's what the cross is all about. And it would be understandable if Jesus didn't come. It would be understandable if Jesus did not come. You know why? Because he had the splendor of heaven. He had the riches of heaven. He had all perfection. He did not have to come and experience the cross for us. But he came willingly. Why? Because he loves us. He was willing to take the pain, even though he didn't have to. Now, I want to give myself the benefit of the doubt that I think I'm a pretty nice guy. Thank you. But I'm not leaving heaven to come die for you. That's the love of God. It goes beyond comprehension. God has your picture on his fridge. It's like, that's my boy. That's my girl. Why? Because you're made in his image. There's no one like you. There's no one in this wide world like you. You are made in his image with a unique imprint, with his imprint on you. You are very valuable. There's no one like you. You have infinite worth. And so lost people matter to God more than anything else in this universe. They matter to God more than anything. And we see this in Mark chapter 8 with the statement that Jesus makes. He says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it." Then he says this, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?" What Jesus is saying this is that the human soul is worth more than anything else in this world. You can take the poorest person living under a bridge somewhere, and they matter more to God than the Fortune 500 companies combined. Why? Because that's a person made in his image. You can take my newborn daughter, and she matters infinitely to God today. Why? Because she is made in his image. There's a wonder to us. And I want to tell you, don't give up on yourself because God has not given up on you. Don't you dare quit. Don't you dare get discouraged today. Don't you dare throw in the towel. You matter to God. And the fact that you are here today is proof that he loves you and he cares for you. Can somebody praise him today? So today I want to beg you to think about your eternity. Why? Because your soul matters. Whatever has you worried today, ultimately the things of this earth do not matter. The only thing that will last is eternity and what you do for Christ. And I want you to imagine that you're on a boat today in the ocean and you pick up a handful of water out of the ocean. And as you look at that handful of water, you look out at the vastness of the rest of the ocean. And I want to tell you, the water that's in your hand represents your earthly life, and the water in the ocean represents eternity. We're just here for a few years, but your soul will go on forever. And I want to tell you, if you're lost today, don't waste one more day. Don't waste one more day of your life living in that condition. There's a Savior here to find you today. Which leads me to my second point, and that is this, is that God's love is relentless. God's love does not quit. God's love does not throw in the towel. God's love doesn't say, well, they've done so much, I just can't reach out to them. God's love is relentless. It will kick down any wall. It will light up any shadow. It will climb any mountain to come and get you where you are. If one of us, if our sons or daughters, God forbid, were kidnapped and we knew where they were, I don't know about you, but I would storm any safe house. I would go through any wall. I would do whatever I had to do to recover that child. And that's what the cross is all about. It's a way of saying, I love you and I'll do anything to reach you. And I want to tell you, if you do not go to heaven and you miss eternity with Jesus Christ, you're going to have to walk over Jesus Christ first. You're going to have to surpass him. You're going to have to pass by him first. Why? Because he's going to stand in the way and reach out with you with love. With every breath, he's saying, I love you. Every day that you get up is a gift from God, him telling you, I love you. His love is relentless. God made the ultimate effort in Calvary to come find us. He knew that there was no way that we could ever get back or we could ever recover by ourselves. And here's what I love about Jesus. Is that he loved us first. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, as an insecure, fallible person, I calculate my love. I'm very guarded. I'm very careful. I ask questions. Will this person turn on me? Will this person do me in? Am I going to be wasting love and wasting attention with this person? Do I really want to go through the trouble of loving this person when they have the ability to hurt me? And that's what love ultimately is a risk to be hurt. But God's love isn't like that. He doesn't ask those questions. He just simply loves. He just simply pays the price. Because you see, if God asked those questions, there's no way he would come to Calvary. All God sees is that the risk is worth it. If just one of us accepted his sacrifice on Calvary, it would still be worth it. Why? Because we have infinite value. And God's love, thank God, he was willing to take the risk, even though I still disappoint him. I don't know about you, but I don't bat 1,000. I mean, for goodness sakes, I almost got in a road rage incident in the garage at the hospital the other day. Like, my wife had to talk me down. Like, this woman and I were playing a good old game of chicken in the garage, and like, my face is getting red, and I'm just sitting there like, lady, you want to do this? That's your pastor, people. Amen. Pray for me. Pray for me. But my point is, none of us are perfect. I still disappoint him. But it's still worth the risk. Why? Because he doesn't see my faults. He just sees the righteousness of that blood on Calvary. And thank God for the blood today. Is anybody thankful for the blood? that washes every sins away. We read it earlier. David said, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. What's that saying? You can run, but you can't hide. You can run from God all you want to. And some of you, you've been running and running and running. You go from one party to the next. You go from one bar to the next. You go from one relationship to the next. And if you're really honest with it, you're running from God. And you know what? Everywhere you go, you're going to be tormented. Because you're going to feel that little finger tapping you on the shoulder saying, I'm still here. And take it from a professional runner. The best thing to do is just give in. And say, God, I accept your love. I accept your plan for my life. God will outrun us. It will chase, his love will chase me down. Has anybody ever been chased down by God? Where you had no intention. But it was like something grabbed a hold of your heart. It will fight for you. God's love fights for us. The first time we make a mistake and we don't do what we should, God doesn't kick us out of the house. It fights for us. That's what the blood of Jesus is about. And you can go home today with that blood over your life where you don't have to live under the guilt of sin one more time, but you can say, I am the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's a relentless love. There's no shadow you won't light up, no mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down. See, God doesn't play games. We stop talking to people and we get hurt. We cut him off. God doesn't play that game. He still comes around. If you're asking today if that's true, I want to tell you, yes, it's true because you're here. You're here. There's somebody here today that this message in this service is just for you. And just because there's some of us here today, we put on nice suits and we look like we have it together, even though we don't. Just to be honest with you, God's not really concerned about us. He's concerned with you. If you came into today with problems, if you came in today with addictions, with depression, whatever you want to name it, divorce, whatever it is, you are a prime candidate for the love of God. Because God loves lost people. The third point I want to bring today is this. God's greatest joy is when a lost person is found. It says, and when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. You see, the shepherd finds the sheep. And what's he do? He carries it home. And here's the lie that Satan has tried to convince many of you today. And that is this. If I get good enough, God will take me back. If I ever get my act together, maybe some way I can find my way back to the flock. Maybe if I get enough rules, if I learn enough rules, if I get the dress code just right, if I find out all the, how to dot the I's and to cross the T's, God will take me back. I want to tell you that is a lie from the pit of hell. God finds us right where we're at, just like we are. Well, Pastor, you don't understand, I'm addicted. You know what? God picks up addicted sheep and carries them home. Stop trying to get back to the flock on your own. Let him pick you up and carry you home. You cannot get back to God on your own. You do not get to God to get right. Let me say it again. You don't get right and then get back to God. That's what I meant to say. He finds you and he makes you right. None of us have anything to offer. See, unless by the grace of God, there go I. I don't know what you came in here today with, but we all have problems. We all have come in with baggage. But that you're just looking at one lost sheep that one day Jesus found it. And thank God I let him carry me home. Stop fighting. Stop kicking and screaming. Stop resisting. Let him pick you up today. And I want to tell you, anybody struggling under guilt and condemnation, welcome home. Anybody that's addicted here today, welcome home. Anybody that's going through divorce today, welcome home. Anybody that's lost today, welcome home. Anybody that's struggling with alcohol, welcome home. Anybody that's depressed, welcome home. Anybody that's discouraged, welcome home. You see, we're just a bunch of lost sheep who got picked up and carried home. Today, stop kicking. Stop fighting. Let him pick you up. What does that mean? That means let him have his way in your life. Stop trying to live life on your own. And if you're living life on your own, I want to ask you a question. How's that working out for you? If you keep ending up in the same cyclical mess, nothing's getting better. Well, maybe it's because you haven't let him pick you up. And that presence you feel right now, that's Jesus tapping you on the shoulder today, saying, "I'm still here." You see, Jesus was there when you were abused. Jesus was there when someone else disappointed you, whoever that person was. Jesus was there when you made that tragic, bad decision in your life. He was there. We can't hide it from him. We can't pretend like it doesn't exist. And all I want to tell you is he still loves you. He still loves you. He still wants you. Why? Because you're valuable. You're very valuable. And I can bring you up story after story of lost sheep who are found today, whose lives were a mess. Like you couldn't make the stuff up. But today they're beautiful testimonies of God's power, of love. And it all started with the decision to let God have his way in our life. See, it's the grace of God that finds us and saves us. We can't get back to where we need to be on our own. The shepherd, he finds the sheep. He carries it home, and then something else happens. He celebrates. That God has a party in heaven whenever a lost sheep is found. You see, God's more concerned about you being found today than whether the music was good. And all that's great. God's more concerned with you being found today than Easter eggs. God's more worried about you being found today than whether this was even a good sermon. Why? Because all of heaven stops when one sinner, when one lost sheep is found and repents and gives their life to God. God says, let everything stop. We're going to have a party. And I believe there's going to be a party in heaven today because somebody's coming home. Somebody's going to give their life to Jesus. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says this. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. You see that? The reason that Jesus went to the cross was because it was worth it. Why? Because there was going to be joy. He knew there was going to be joy set before him. Why? Because some lost sheep were going to be found. Some lost people were going to come home. And so he gladly, in one sense, went to the cross. Why? Because there was joy set before him. Why? Because you're worth it. My wife and I, it was actually one of our first dates. And this is really going to show you what kind of wild people we are. One of our first dates, we went to the Texas History Museum. Amen. Praise God. Good and holy entertainment. But they had a special exhibit that day, and it was a really just lovable, affable World War II veteran. And he told stories about his time in World War II. And then they had a question and answer session. And this woman took the mic, and she said, "I just want to thank you." And then she began to cry profusely. She said, "You see, I'm Jewish, and I was raised in Europe. And my family was saved because of what you did and all our veterans did." And matter of fact, if there's any veterans today, can we give them a hand? Thank them. But she began to cry, and her kids were with her, and they began to cry. And she said, "We just want to thank you." And I'll never forget his response to her was this: "Oh, honey, don't worry about it. You're worth it." And what I want to tell you today, we can't approach God full of guilt and shame. You know why? Because when we give our life to him, he says, "Don't worry about it. You're worth it. You matter to me." And I want to tell somebody here today, you're worth it. Calvary was worth it for you. Everything that Jesus went through was worth it if you and you alone would give your life to him. And I wonder if we could stand all over this place right now. And I want to give everybody the chance to be found today. If we could have no looking around, if we could close our eyes all over this place. If you're here today and you're honest with yourself, you would say, "I'm lost, Pastor." And by the way, you can go to church and still be lost. You can put on nice suits and still be lost. It's about your heart. If you're here today and you feel lost, you feel hopeless, first of all, I want to tell you, you're at the right place. Second thing I want to tell you is let him pick you up. Give your life to him. Stop resisting. Can we say a prayer right now over this place? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, maybe there's just one person in here today, Lord, who needed to hear.